Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
If you take your outline, I want to just give you a few thoughts, and I promise you I'll be brief this morning, to talk about this Christmas invitation. As a matter of fact, there are many invitations that we see in the Bible. And just like all the invitations in the world, they come with a declaration. I'll give you an example. There was a news article back in 1948. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you were alive in 1948. But if you were, be proud of that. But in 1948, there was newspapers all over the world that had a picture of a baby. And that baby was being baptized, and under that that caption, or the, under the picture, was a caption that said, "All eyes on the baby." Anybody know who that was? My history buffs? Nope. It was Prince Charles. The royal baby was being christened on December the 16th, 1948, and the whole country of England watched in excitement and in joy, because with the christening of this new baby, what? The monarchy would continue, right? England would be safe under the family lineage, and the whole nation rejoiced with all eyes on the baby. It's an interesting tagline, isn't it? It's a fitting tagline for this time of year, right? When we as Christians should have our eyes fixed on the baby, right? Not Prince Charles, praise the Lord, but Jesus, the true King. But when we think about those announcements, and we think about exciting and joyful things that happen in our life, what do we want to do when we have those things that come into our life? Don't we want to tell people, right? We want to declare it. We want to share it with the world, because we want everyone to share in our excitement, right? We want them to feel what we're feeling. And that's exactly what happened 2,000 years ago when angels appeared to a group of people. If you have your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2 is a very familiar passage. And in this passage, there are several declarations that are made about this new baby. But inside of those declarations is something more important that I want us to focus on and hopefully take out of here today to our families, to our workplace, and everywhere we go this Christmas. You see, the question we have to ask with this Christmas story is, what are we supposed to do with it? If it's just a retelling of a familiar story year after year, how many of us go, okay, we know it, but what else, right? I would venture to say, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you can tell me this Christmas story from Luke chapter 2 without having to look at it, right? We know that there was a baby and there were shepherds and all these things, but the question is, how do we keep it from being mundane and rote? How do we keep it from just being a story that we talk about in December and forget about until next December? Which, by looking past the declarations into something that is truly life-changing. You see, inside these declarations are a series of invitations. There's four of them this morning that I want to give you before we are dismissed. And so let's read this together from Luke chapter 2. That's not right. Chris, will you click on my slide for me? There we go. Luke chapter 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So let me go into this first one for you this morning. This first invitation that we see from the angel is that there is a personal invitation given to the shepherds. One of the great things about the Christmas story is who were the first people the angels came to declare the birth of Jesus to? The shepherds. Now, you've heard me talk about the shepherds in here before, but if you're not familiar with this story of the shepherds, the reason shepherds were out in the field at night watching sheep is because they weren't welcome anywhere else. They were considered the outcasts of society. They stunk. They smelled. They were rough. They didn't make a lot of money, and so oftentimes they would have to go steal things to survive. The Pharisees, listen to this. The Pharisees would not allow them to worship in the temple because they were habitually unclean. So can you imagine, listen to me this morning, can you imagine wanting to be made right with God but being told over and over and over, you're not worthy? Some of you in here this morning have probably heard that before. You know what you've done. You know where you've been. You know the mistakes that you've made. And you certainly are not worthy of this new king. But that is the ones that the angels went to first. In fact, listen to me. Those are the ones that God sent the angels to first. He wasn't just born like most of us think of this time of year. He was born for you. When we sing, come and behold him. When's the last time you've done that? In your heart, when have you come and gazed upon the baby who came to take your place? That's the first invitation we have in this Christmas story. Listen, don't miss how intentional God was about sending Jesus for you. Amen. Next one. It wasn't just a personal invitation. It's an important invitation. We don't just need to go look at a baby in a manger, right? And a lot of times that's kind of what we relegate Christmas down to. It's about the scene of a baby laying in a manger with all these things around them. But that baby grew up. And that baby came to do something. Look at the last part of verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a what, church? A Savior. He doesn't say a baby. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. The angel's announcement to the shepherds was this once in a lifetime event, once in history event. God has come down to earth. And listen, he hasn't come here just for you to ooh and ah over him in a manger. He's come on a mission. He's come to do something, right? Well, what has he come to do? John tells us in John 1, he came into his own and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right. I want you to get that. He gave the right to become children of God. There's a lot at stake with this invitation, isn't it? John says it's the difference between being a child of God or not. That hinges upon what you and I do with this baby that we're celebrating. This invitation is for us to come and heed the call to salvation. He has come to save the world. And so for us this morning, here's what I want you to take away from that. Christmas is not just an event that we celebrate once a year. I mean, it's amazing how the world begins to move right after Thanksgiving, right? And how we kind of take on this holiday spirit. But you know what's going to happen about, I don't know, 7, 8 o'clock tomorrow night? Is you're going to be ready to move on from it, right? You're going to go to Walmart on Tuesday, and they're going to have Valentine's stuff out already, right? Maybe Halloween, who knows, right? Oh, thank you. Well, there you go. But that's case in point, right? We come to it, we celebrate it, we move on from it. That's not Christmas. The Christmas story is come see the baby, but come believe in the baby. Know that the baby grew up and the baby came for a purpose, and it was to save your soul from hell. You know, it's no secret, Christmas is the most attended church time of the year, right? We know that. We come and we celebrate, maybe because of obligation, who knows? Maybe our parents want us to come. But how many of us are so quick to fall right back into our normal patterns throughout the rest of the year? And we have to be reminded of who Jesus is at Christmas. I want to caution you this morning, there's a danger in making this holiday just a come and see holiday, because that's not the intention of Christmas. He hasn't called us to come and participate and to look on Jesus once a year. He has given us the invitation to come and be saved. Let me tell you what that means real quickly. It means that you are entering into an abiding, continual relationship with Jesus. He didn't say, come know him, come understand some things about him, come abide in me. And so I have a question for you on this Christmas Eve morning. Have you taken Christ up on his invitation to enter into that relationship with him? If I can point your attention to verse 11 one more time, the angel said this. He says, unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The Greek word there is kurios, and it means master. This little baby, helpless, swaddled in cloths, is your master. Now, here's what I need you to understand. We cannot come to Jesus to be our Savior unless we are ready to submit to him as our master. You may be asking, what does it mean to be saved? It means that you come and you give your life to him. You hand it over to him. You trust him to forgive you of your sins, yes, but you also trust him to lead you throughout the rest of your life as your Lord. Church, we cannot call him Savior if he's not our Lord. And so I ask you again, have you accepted that invitation? Not just to come know about Jesus, but to come make him your Lord. Listen, he wants to be so much more than a decoration on your mantle this time of year. He wants to be so much more than a gathering with family and friends. He wants to be your life. And here's what's most important. He has to be if you want to go to heaven. There is no other way. And so it's a personal invitation. It's an important invitation. But it's an invitation to peace. After the declaration by the angels and the instructions about where they were to find the new baby, something strange happened. Since this angel was surrounded by a multitude of angels and they kept singing, glory to God in the highest. Listen to what they say. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So I have a question for you this morning. Why did the angels sing about peace? Why not joy? Wasn't it certainly a joyful occasion? Absolutely it was. But why specifically peace? Here's why. Because since the fall of humanity, peace has been the one thing that everybody craves, but nobody can receive on their own. This morning, whatever it is you're looking for in this world, peace is at the core of it. If I have more money, it'll get the creditors off my back. I'll be at peace, right? If I find the right person in my life, I won't be lonely. I'll be at peace in my relationships. We want peace, don't we? But yet we can't find it on our own. The prophets in the Old Testament said that Israel filled their lives with trying to find peace, 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 but there is no peace. But here with this introduction of this baby, peace on earth. And so it's not just a declaration to peace, it's an invitation to come find what you cannot get on your own. When you read into the Greek here, it's a supernatural peace that is a gift of God given to those that He just loves. Think about the goodness. Man, tomorrow when you gather around that tree and you exchange gifts and how wonderful it's going to feel to watch those that you love open up something special, right? And you're filled with this joy that, man, I had something to do with that because of my generosity. I was able to bring joy to them. That's the peace that God gives you today. And He gave it to you because He simply wanted to. And so this morning, I want to ask you, have you received this gift of peace? Now let me ask you, what kind of peace is He talking about? Obviously, it's not a peace from all unfavorable circumstances, right? Many of you are going to leave here today, and you're going to go to places that there's not going to be a lot of peace, right? I'm not clowning on your family, but let's just be real honest with you. Some of you are going to places that you're trying to get in and get out unscathed, right? We don't throw anything and we don't cuss each other out, we're good. You see, a lot of you are going into very unpeaceful situations today. That's not the peace that He's talking about. Let me give you the three types of peace that He gives us here. First, we have peace with God. Jesus came that you and I first might have peace with God. Why don't I have peace with God? You see, we don't have peace with God because in our sin, we have offended a holy, righteous God. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So, what is He saying? Jesus came to do one primary thing. It was to give us peace between us and God. Do you understand that before we get saved, there's hostility between us and God? He is our enemy. And I don't know about you, but I don't want God as my enemy. We are under His wrath, but Jesus came so that He might reconcile us to God, and we are no longer His enemy. So we have peace with God first. Here's the second thing. Have peace with myself. Oh, how many of you do you need this today? You are reminded every day of the things that you're not. The things that you want to be, but you've just failed to be. The Bible tells us that He came and was born so that we might have peace, not with God, just with God, but within ourselves. Romans 8:1 says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Can you imagine as those shepherds ran to that stable and they saw Jesus lying in the manger and they realized what He was there to do? That all the things that everyone had said about them, all the things that everyone had said about them that were true, no longer counted against them because of Jesus. Do you understand this morning that He has canceled the record of your sin and your guilt on the cross, and you are no longer guilty because of Him, and you can be at peace with yourself today? Stop beating yourself up because our King has come. Here's the third thing we can have peace in this morning. We may not have peace from our circumstances, but we can have peace in our circumstances, right? Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." This declaration by the angels of peace on earth became an invitation for us to come and find what only Christ gives. This morning, we're celebrating that Christ came to be our peace. And today you can leave here with a peace that sustains you when you walk into any circumstance you're about to walk into. All the uncertainties of life, you will find peace. Here's why. Because the only thing that really matters for eternity is solidified in Christ Jesus. If your eternity is solidified in Him, why does it matter about the trivial temporal things here? Here's a good question I want you to ask yourself, man. As you walk into the new year, as you walk into whatever volatile situation you might be walking into this Christmas, and stuff starts to get your blood boiling and you start to get anxious and you start to feel it, here's the question I want you to ask. Will this matter in eternity? You see, with Jesus, we're able to ask that question. Will this matter in eternity? If the answer is no, then be at peace. Be at peace. But again, I need to remind you that peace, this peace does not come if you're only visiting Christ once a year. This peace comes when Christ is your life. Great as the news of Jesus was to the shepherds, there came a command after it. Go. You see, we don't keep this news to ourselves. So listen to this in Luke chapter 2. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. When you behold something so great and marvelous that is life-changing, you don't want to keep it to yourself. This happened when Jesus was 8 days old. He was taken into the temple. And there's a figure in the Christmas story that we don't talk about typically, but her name was Anna. And listen to what happened to Anna. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher, and she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. And she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting, with prayer, night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So get this picture in their mind. They take Jesus into the temple to dedicate Him, right? And Anna comes and she sees Him and she says, "This is Him. This is the one I've been waiting for." And she doesn't keep it to herself. But what does she do? She tells everybody that's going to listen. There's an invitation in the Christmas story, and it's one of the final invitations. It's an invitation that is meant to be extended to others. Church, news this good, we don't keep to ourselves. A baby was born who became a man who grew up and died for the sins of the world, for my sins and yours. And He died to set us free from all the mess and the brokenness that we see here. And one day we're going to be with Him forever if we give our lives to Him. And you're getting ready to go into homes and around Christmas trees and dining room tables with family and friends who need to hear that. You're going to talk about football, and you're going to talk about politics, and you're going to talk about all these polarizing things that really don't matter. How many of you need to share this with somebody today and tomorrow? So I want to give you this invitation, the invitation that's extended to myself and to all of us. How many of the people in your life need to hear this news? And listen, I can already see it in your eyes. Man, the anxiety, but I'm not a preacher. What if they ask me questions about the age of the earth or the gap theory? I don't know these things. It's okay. Listen, God did not call us to give a theological dissertation. You know what He called us to do? to proclaim what we know about him. And so here's the question. What do you know about Jesus? How has he shown up and shown off in your life this year? That's a great conversation starter. And instead of talking about the primaries, let's talk about Jesus this year. Amen? Promise you, your food will taste a lot better. We have so much more to talk about in our families. And listen, oh, please listen. I know that the people who are the most closest to us are the most difficult to talk to about Jesus. I get that. But they are the ones you love the most. And listen, if they were dying of terminal cancer and you had a shot that would cure them, you wouldn't hesitate, would you, to give it to them? We have something so much more important, church, that we have, that we know, that we're celebrating right now today. And you're going to have an opportunity to be in front of them in just a little while. What are you going to do? Give it out. What they do with it is on them. Give it out. Share about his goodness. Share about what he's done. David said this in Psalm 107, has the Lord redeemed you? Let's stop right there. The first question you got to answer is that. Has the Lord redeemed you? Is he your Lord? If the answer is yes, then here's the second part. Then speak out. Speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. So church, as we prepare to leave and celebrate with our family and friends, I want us just to take a few minutes before we pray. And I want you to just think about some of the things that God has done in your life this year. How good he's been to you. And the reason why he's been good to you is because of Jesus. Why don't you have those things loaded and ready when you gather with your family and friends in just a little while? Before you pile the food on your plate, before you turn the TV on, why don't we take just a few minutes and say, I'm going to be that person. Can we talk about how good Jesus is? And watch what God will do when we receive that invitation. And wouldn't it be amazing that one of the greatest gifts you receive this year is a loved one who gives their life to Christ? And maybe the only thing is just they're waiting for a conversation. So here's your invitation to do it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, thank you for this time. And Father, I recognize that as we are getting ready to head, many of us, into a very busy rest of the day, thank you that you've allowed us to begin this day gathered around your word, not only to remember this beautiful declaration of a baby who came to save us, but God, an invitation to come find life, to find peace, to be made right with you. But Father, also an invitation to give what we've received from you. That is the purpose of Christmas. And so Father, I just want to take this moment right now, and I ask that your Holy Spirit would just go through the rows of this room. First, Lord, for those who are here who may not know you as Lord, Father, right now, would you make the gospel just incredibly clear to them? Father, would you remind them that the reason Jesus came was to be for us what we cannot be for ourselves, to come and die in our place, a death that we deserve. But if we will come to him and we will put our lives in his hands, if we will repent, turn from our sins, call our sin what it is, agree with you that it is broken us, it has separated us from you. If we will do that and we will confess that we believe that what Christ did on the cross and when he rose from the grave, that you set us free from those sins, you have promised that you will come and save us. Father, right now, God, if there's anyone in this room that needs to do that, I pray that they would do it right now. From their heart to you, just cry out to you to save them. And Father, we thank you that there's a peace that passes all understanding that is ours in Christ. And so, Lord, even after this Christmas season, when the world starts turning quickly again and we get back into our routines and life knocks us in the mouth, Lord, and we don't know what to do, God, would you draw us back to this promise? There's peace on earth to those whom God is pleased with. Father, we are pleasing to you when we belong to Christ. So draw us back to Jesus. And Father, finally, give us courage today. Give us an opportunity. Give us the privilege, Lord, to take a moment and just share the invitation with those whom we love and are close to. And Lord, we believe that you'll accomplish everything you want to accomplish for your glory. We love you today. Thank you for coming. Thank you for growing up. Thank you for living a life I couldn't live. Thank you for dying in my place. Father, thank you for raising your son from the dead. And thank you for securing an eternity with him forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, before we leave, I do want to just take a minute to thank everyone who help this family. Laura and I are going to take the gifts over to them here in just a little bit. But the father wanted me to just thank you all one more time for just your generosity and your love for them. You've never met them, but I think that is a beautiful testimony of the heart of this church, that you see a need and you meet a need. And we've all been in a situation where we've needed help. And thank you for being a people who step up and help. And so let's take just a moment to just pray over these gifts. And as you just pray for this family, continue to pray for the wife's health as she is coming to term with this baby. And just pray for this family that God will bless them this time of year. Father, again, thank you for the privilege, God, to serve you by loving on this family. God, we're so grateful for the opportunity you gave us. And Lord, we know that these gifts, Lord, they are physical and temperate, God, they are, Lord, they're just things. But Lord, I pray that this family would recognize the heart behind these gifts. That it's a heart of love. A heart of love for you, that you have blessed us. And you've been so good and kind to us this year. It's a heart of gratitude that you've allowed us the privilege to come alongside this family who's in need and help them and bless them this year. God, I pray that Jesus would be glorified so much through the giving of these gifts. And I pray a blessing over this family, Lord, that you continue to keep them healthy. Lord, that you would just help Amber as she brings this baby to term. Lord, that, God, there would be no complications any further, and Lord, that you would just continue to just bring your peace into this home. Thank you for this body of believers, Lord, God, who chose not to keep the gifts for themselves, but to bless others this year. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. God bless you. Don't eat too much. Gluttony is a sin. Remember that. Have a wonderful Christmas. You are dismissed.